It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two and the final one for another show. It's great to have you with us on that side of the radio. Tim Hughes along with Russ Smith from Sky Call.
And good morning.
Good morning. And yeah. Navadopsis is also here.
Good morning, Tim.
And I keep telling you, don't touch that microphone.
I know. I can't help it.
Your elbows off the table.
And eat all of your food, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I look like I miss a meal here.
Thanks to all of our guests in the last hour. We've got more coming up. Mike Seeley is going to join us this morning. He got a hold of me after we had him on last week's show, and he said, you know, if you get some time, I'd love to talk to you about something else I'm involved with, and it's a mountain bike school, or a team, I guess, at Jordan High School, which I didn't even know was a thing, but Navi has informed me it is very much a thing.
Very much a thing, and it's wonderful. The kids love it. Any reason to belong to the school is a good thing.
Yeah, so he's going to join us later in this half hour.
I'd like to go to one of their meets and really see how they get that many bikes all at one time.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing to see. And, you know, as hard as it is to ride a mountain bike at speed, if you're coming down a ungroomed course by yourself, imagine competing for jockeying for a position while you're trying to do that. It's crazy stuff. All right, look, I want to jump into our conversation here with Covey Jones, who is the DWR Big Game Coordinator here in Utah. Good morning, Covey. Nice to have you.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How are you?
Doing well. We wanted to get you as we get ever closer here to the beginnings of the hunt season. And what is it? Archery begins on the 17th, next weekend.
Yeah, Saturday, August 17th is a big day.
Yeah. But we always like to get a little preview of what you can tell us about populations and maybe where folks should be looking to do their hunting this year if they don't have a favorite spot, which most people do, I guess. But deer populations look favorable.
Yeah, deer are still doing well. You know, we came down off an all-time high a couple years ago, 2016. But deer are still doing great in Utah. Looking back to the data, and we harvested over 30,000 bucks last year, which is an indication that we have a lot of deer on the landscape. We have a lot of bucks on the landscape. The last 3 years have been the highest for over 20 years. So it's a good place to be, good time to hunt in Utah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one thing to go year to year, but when you go from 2011, for instance, to this year, that 370,000 mule deer that are estimated to be in the state is up about 100,000 deer, is it not?
Yeah, we've grown over 100,000 deer since, you know, the 2010-11 time. Yeah, absolutely, grown a lot of deer. And, Tim, this year, it's a great year to have a buck tag. With all the additional water and all the additional food resources on the landscape, we're going to have some great quality, a lot of large antlered bucks in the landscape this year.
Well, I look at the higher elevation. Somebody was telling me they went up to Mineral Basin a few weeks ago, and the wildflowers just in the last month or so are coming on because it took so long to get snow out of those areas.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the winter was a little bit hard on some of our populations, but the ones that made it through had a real shot of nutrition this year, so it'll be great.
You mentioned a great year to have, to have a bull elk or a buck mule deer this year. The antler growth is something that you really have put emphasis on.
Yeah, antler growth is a secondary growth characteristic, so it only happens after all the other nutritional needs are met. Right, so after a deer is healthy and has enough for the body to function, or an elk, then it can start to really put on antler growth and mass. And so the habitat conditions of that year really affect the size of antlers on an animal. And that leads to a place where we don't get many years that have this kind of wet spring and put out the nutrition, the wildflowers that those animals need to really grow big antlers. This has been the year. I think it's going to be one to remember. It's going to be one that'll go in the books.
Yeah. For those that may be headed out on the archery hunt, and it does seem to me that the desire to go do that has grown over the last couple of years. It's something we have talked about, the growing numbers of folks that are putting down their guns and picking up their bows. You use the term bachelor groups and that bucks are going to be in herds of little bachelor groups. Explain that.
Yeah, so, you know, bucks and does, they get together every November and do the thing they do, you know, during their rut, during the breeding season. But other than that, mature bucks don't stay with does in the landscape. And so if you're seeing a lot of does, you're probably in an area that'll have, you know, smaller yearling bucks. But if what you're really after is a large, a trophy mule deer, you're going to want to find these areas that may be a little harder to access, a little harder to get to. But you'll start to see fewer deer, but more bucks. You know, they sexually segregate. And so you'll start to see more bucks in the landscape, more larger antlered bucks. And that's when you know you're in a good spot to hunt bucks and be a little selective. If you're seeing a lot of does and your goal is to harvest a yearling buck or just harvest a buck, that's a good place to be. But if you want to hunt a bigger buck this year, you could change where you're hunting.
Yeah. You talked about the abundance of water. A lot of guys will set up, especially if they're doing tree stands or something like that, around water sources. Does this mean that the deer are going to be a little more dispersed maybe than in years past?
It gets hard when you have a lot of water on the landscape. You have, right now, you have a lot of water in plant materials, too. We've had some good August rains. We've had water this spring. And so, you know, hunting over water might not be as beneficial as it is on a dry year.
Yeah. Vegetation also very good in these areas.
Yeah, it's doing great this year. It's been a long time since you walked through and you've got vegetation up over your head.
Yeah, but that can also make it a trick to hunt, too.
It can. The same thing that's providing those large antlers on those bucks can make it hard to find it.
The rest of your tips, and thanks to Faith Jolly for sending out some of what you had suggested, the rest of your tips look like pretty basic stuff. A seasoned hunter certainly would know this, but somebody that is headed out into the field for the first time, things like, know the direction of the wind is blowing so that your scent will go away from where you think the deer are hanging out, and be prepared for weather. And especially right now, we had a crazy turn in the weather a couple of days ago along the Wasatch Front where we had just massive rains. It passes quickly, but it can still mess up a day.
Yeah, and it happens fast. And at those high elevations, getting cold is not a good thing. You know, you might struggle to get warm again. So be ready. Have your rain gear. And you're right. The wind and that advice for hunting. You know, one of the things that I think is really important is that you have fun, too. Be safe. Have fun. If you're not having fun, you're doing something wrong. So go out there and hunt. Enjoy the mountains. Enjoy the beautiful place we live. Enjoy the wildlife. And have fun doing it.
Yeah, I hear so many times, everybody wants to know whether you had a successful hunt. And most deer hunters, if they're really deer hunters, will say, you know what, just getting out there was my success. If I bring a deer home or an elk home, that's icing on the cake. You do tell people, though, yeah, that the ones that have the most success as far as, bringing some meat home to the freezer are those that put in the work. And that means getting out right now and doing your scouting. And it also means, you know, not just taking the paved road or the dirt road that gets you somewhere. You really got to get off the road to find these animals.
Yeah, I mean, for elk especially, if you want to find herds of elk, there's a lot of data all across the West. Elk are going to avoid roads. And sometimes it's only 200 or 300 yards off the road where you can run into a herd of elk. But be willing to take a hike. Be willing to look for elk over that next ridge or in that next valley. And you can find them. But driving the roads for elk is poor planning, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, as we wrap up here, the other thing I would tell people is to go on the website and look up the Utah Hunt Planner, because that's really going to give you a lot of great tips. And for anybody that may be a little green at doing this, it's a great place to start.
Yeah, Hunt Planner is awesome. Read about your hunt, read about what it has, everything from camping facilities in that area to where the biologist will hunt if you have that permit, and what strategies to employ. It's a great resource.
Is that on the wildlife.utah.gov site? You link it from there?
We do link it from there. Yep, you can go to wildlife.utah.gov. You can search Utah Hunt Planner. It'll come up that way, too.
All right. Our big game coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources, Covey Jones, joining us online. Thanks for your time this morning.
Hey, thank you.
We're going to take a break. Don't go away when we do. As I mentioned, Mike Seeley's going to rejoin us here. We just had a chat with him a minute ago. I hope we've solved some cell phone problems there. But I'm anxious to hear about this and pick Nobby's brain a little bit about the mountain bike team that exists at Davis High and a lot of other high schools around the state. So stay with us.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. As always, nice to have you. Our thanks to Covey Jones for helping us map out some of what we know about the upcoming hunt season and hopefully give you a little idea of maybe where to plan if you didn't already have some for late summer or early fall hunts. Last week, Mike Seeley was on with us. We were talking about the crazies in Yellowstone, and we had a few more stories to share this morning on our News of the Week. But Mike told me afterwards, he says, man, I'd like to talk to you when we get a minute about another project I'm involved with, and it's a mountain biking team is it Jordan High, Mike?
Yeah. So it's at Jordan High. It's part of the Utah High School Cycling League, which is the Utah State or chapter for NICA,
yeah,
which is the nationwide cycling organization. So, yeah, it's been a lot of time. I've been doing it for the last 2 years and stuff, and I just thought that I would kind of spend some time talking to you guys about it.
We're going to have to deal with a rough cell phone signal from you, and I don't know if you're on Wi-Fi or something, but we'll work around it. Navi was telling me a minute ago that Davis High actually has a team in place pretty well.
There's 100 kids on the team.
100?
And 20 of them are female.
Really?
Yeah.
So this is becoming a thing.
It is a thing. Yes.
Oh, it is a huge. It's a huge thing. Yes. So the Utah Cycling League is the largest state league in the whole country. So there are about 2,000 students, if I remember right, that are involved with this across the state. And there's teams that go from St. George to Logan, out to Vernal, and everything else with it. So there's actually, they've got the state broken down into three different divisions that you compete in. So, you know, like Davis is up in the northern, we're in the central, and then, you know, Provo South is in the southern region with it. So it's a huge, huge, huge thing with it. It's a great opportunity, great activity, but it is a huge thing.
So do they set up courses, or are they going to places like Deer Valley or Snowbird or something and competing there?
Yes, both. So they're set up courses, but the courses this year, I'm not sure where Davis is racing at, because sometimes we don't race the same courses, but this year we're racing Snow Basin, and that Vernal, Cedar City, Richfield. Last year we were at Boulder Hollow. We did, Snow Basin again. And that's what you travel all around the state, which is a lot of fun. That's kind of an added bonus to it, is being able to travel around and ride in some of these different areas that you normally don't get to ride on. But Navi was talking about the size of the teams and stuff with it. So you've got 100 kids on your team. We've got 40 on our team. And then Corner Canyon and Alta have somewhere in the neighborhood of 220
wow.
teams with it. So it kind of varies from school to school with how big the teams are.
You know, Tim, the best thing about this is kids get an opportunity yeah. to participate and represent their school.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not everybody can make the football team. Right. Not everybody can be on the – there's only 15 kids on the basketball team. We had a graduating class of 970 last year.
Yeah.
These are a lot of kids that are getting left out. So opportunities like mountain biking is wonderful because they don't make a cut. Everybody's on the team and everybody races, and then the top – you know, finishers win awards, but more importantly, there's a lot of camaraderie and it gives them an opportunity to participate. Any reason to go to school or want to go to school is a good thing.
Always.
So I love this mountain bike stuff.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
And the opportunity to get out and do something in the outdoors is also something that will spark an interest in these kids that they can enjoy for the rest of their lives.
Mountain bikes, we've seen it. It can be adaptive. Just about any kid can get on a mountain bike now, regardless yeah. of skills.
And let me also say about the ladies, you know, female students really do struggle. They struggle yeah. more than boy students. We have all kinds of depression. We have a lot of anxiety. We have a lot of issues. So we can help them at school, and the girls are now participating right there with the boys, and that is a wonderful thing for both.
Yeah. We've only got about 90 seconds left to talk about this, Mike, but I'm curious, when you say you're helping with the program, are you acting then as a coach? And if so, what does a practice look like?
So it's all volunteers. Michelle and I are kind of the team mom and dad and that. So we're involved in the coaching and stuff with it. I'm a level 2 ride coach with certified by NICA. Michelle's level 1 with it. And we're out riding with the team three times a week at least. And then responsible for getting, you know, helping them plan the practices and everything else. So, yeah, so we're up to our elbows in for sure.
Is this a season that's outside of the regular school season? I mean, is it going on now?
So it starts basically in May, and our training goes all summer, and then our first race is the 25th of August this year. So we start kind of like football season. You know, we start training ahead of time, but then the races don't start until the school year. But we're prepping for it all summer long. So yeah.
We started Davis County on the 19th.
Yeah. Great stuff. I had no idea. And,
yeah.
you know, not only that there weren't that this program existed, but there were that many kids involved. Goodness.
You know, they get a uniform. I can't tell you how important that
really?
Is. It says Davis right on it, and they're proud of it, and it's the school colors.
Are they riding jerseys? Is that what they are?
Oh, riding jerseys and pants, and they have a cool trainer to pull all their
helmets,
bikes.
The whole bit?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Well, hats off to you and your wife. Yeah, hats off to you and your wife. I guess we lost him.
Yep,
Mike,
did.
You still there?
No, I'm here.
Anyway, hats off to you and your wife for your volunteer effort in that and helping these kids get outdoors. Yeah. And you're probably getting a little exercise yourself, which isn't a bad thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get a little exercise myself, get a little bit of scars myself and, you know, banged up and everything. It's all part of the adventure.
Yeah.
But, too, you know, is that if you're interested at all in mountain biking, I mean, this whole program is run off of volunteers. At the school level and stuff. So if you've got a kid and who likes to bike or you like to bike yourself, if you have some time, this is a great opportunity for anybody to get out to volunteer, to spend time with your kids, you know, at school activities, if you want to call it that. But it's been a really great experience for us to have. I would just encourage anybody, if you even think about getting onto a bike or your ability to
Yeah. We got to let you go, Mike, and we apologize to the listeners. We just had a really horrible connection with Mike today on the phone, and we'll try and fix that the next time. But what a great program, and sounds like it's getting amazing attention around the state, which is fantastic. We'll take a break here. We'll come back and have more right after a news update on the half hour. Don't go away.